Hey guys, so hope everybody's well. For anyone who listens before the weekend is over, the World Indoors is on, and yeah, you can check out some of the Irish guys and British guys racing at the World Indoors, which is, pretty fun. I decided to do another podcast because when I was on the run, I was on a run this morning. Friday is just a nice and easy day, especially when you're doing three sessions a week. So I was just jogging around the park, and I was actually thinking about some of the training that I've done in this build up, and obviously I don't want a lot of those harder days and some of the longer days, and I forget about the work that like the physio will put in, and like Ricky the physiologist coming out with me. Like we've put in collectively quite a, excuse my burp, quite a bit of work. So I'm gonna say a couple of things. One was I kind of had this thought. Running's a really tough one, right? And for example, like let's say I had a gone to Paris and I had a run 64 minutes, right? And it's slower than what you did. Not only is it slower than you at your best, but it's slower than what you did 4 or 5 months previously. So at Larne in, just after the Olympics a while back. And so you get very frustrated. You're like, and obviously this is just hypothetical, but it's a situation quite common amongst athletes, and some athletes go 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, the rest of their career without, call it like finding form. And it's an interesting one because this is the example that I gave. I was talking to a coach, and I was saying, can you imagine, let's say you were trying to, let's say for, this would never happen, but let's say for, what was it, September? So October, November, December, January, February, March, right? So it's March, okay, right now. So that's 6 months. So imagine from Larne in 2021, I'm probably kind of going to lose you here, but I ran 63:50 at Larne 2021. Now imagine had I gone to Paris and I ran slower or the same. And imagine the example whereby, someone asked you to come and tighten a bolt. This is how I explained it. Someone's asked you to come tighten a bolt, right? And for 6 months, twice a day, you've tried to tighten this bolt, okay? And you're doing your thing, multiple different ways. You've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And no matter what you do, you think you're getting closer. Let's pretend hypothetically it's not very straightforward to see if you've tightened it or not, right? That's kind of running. It's not straightforward. It's not easy to see. You think you are. I think you are. Sorry. I think that you think that you're doing well because you have to, because you're putting in all this effort. So the person tightening this bolt, they're thinking to themselves, oh, this has got to be working because I'm fucking putting in effort. But yeah, then imagine like somebody comes along just like race day, and it turns out that you were no closer. That this, call it tightening, it wasn't working. And you find out that the bolt is either the exact same, or actually in some situations it's loosened, so you've got worse. And so someone says to you, hey, just to let you know, you're turning that bolt the wrong way. And you go, fuck, really? And if you're in that situation of the bolt, and you're turning this bolt and you're turning it the wrong way, and it's a much, picture me out fixing the car with my dad, turning, 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 and we're trying to, in this scenario, let's say loosen a bolt. My dad goes, Stephen, you're turning it the wrong way. and I go, fuck, shit, you're right. I've been tightening instead of loosening. Bollocks. So all of a sudden, boop, you go the opposite way. You move on. You forget that you had been tightening and you were supposed to be loosening, and now you loosen, and boop, you loosen it, and life goes on. If only in running it was that simple, because it can be heartbreaking that for, a period of time, what the work that you'd been putting in might be as simple as, tightening or loosening a bolt the wrong direction. It feels really like a sin that you might have been putting in this effort, and by all intents and purposes, your intention was to get better. But it's just like, perhaps me sitting at this car trying to take the wheel off, and instead of loosening, I'm tightening. My intention was good, the effort was there, but sadly, you were just turning the wrong way. And so that's what sort of brought about like a little thought process of kind of what's been going on. Like I feel like maybe I've been for a period of time, I got very obsessed and super into, I'm sure a lot of people have, reading about probably like the last 5 6 years, you could say, reading about like training online, and like I'm sure people have heard of the name Renata Canova. There's countless examples of Kipchoge's training. There's all these different ideas about, training that you can do. And I actually went back and had a look at some of the training I did as a kid, 2010, 2011, 2013, and in a way it was really refreshing. And almost sorry, mind-boggling that it was so little and I was so fucking good. It's kind of frustrating to know that my like almost 10 year younger self would fucking kick my ass. Like in a lot of ways, that athlete that was 10 years younger, like 20, from the age of 20 to 23, so actually younger, like 12 years younger, like 13 years younger, he would kick my ass. And I look back at like, all these shifts in technology and all this stuff that's going on, but I look back at this athlete that, was really just putting in work. There was nothing really complicated about my week. I'm lucky to have, I have a journal, and it pretty much has my training from 2005, believe it or not, all the way to around about 2013, 2014. But that's kind of when Strava and online resources came in, and so the journal stopped being updated. But excuse me, I need to burp. So there was a couple of things went on. So the reason for today's podcast, I like that idea of the bolt, and I also like the idea of, instead of banging your head against a wall, trying to figure out if you've been turning the right or wrong way. Sometimes what happens with that is there's a confusion. So I'll explain the confusion. If you've worked hard for 6 months, and imagine it was turning a screw or a bolt, and you've done this for 6 months, and your intent's been good, and your effort's been good, and you really wanted to tighten or loosen this bolt, which is how training works. You do really want to be better. And it's not clear whether or not it's working or not. You can get confused, and so you can blame certain things. You can my the certain things that I would blame would be, a classic for me. If we look at the last lot of weeks, there's been a lot of excuses, and it's not so much excuses, it's more confusion. It's kind of like, oh, maybe it's, my pre training strategy. And I don't think my pre training strategy is great, but I don't think that's, I'll tell you an example. I did a lactate test years and years and years ago, probably 15 years ago. And then the results weren't very good. And in the in the comments box, I wrote that my electrolyte tablet had caffeine in it, and that it was the caffeine. And I'm laughing because, like, the lengths we'll go to like justify, or when you're doing the right training and you find a bit of a flow, there's no excuses. Things doesn't really matter what you eat the morning. It doesn't really matter what treadmill you're on. Doesn't matter if it's a little bit windy out. You find the excuses just narrow down and narrow down because you've found this flow and this rhythm, and things are working. And I think I've struggled to find that recently. And potentially, like I said about the bolt and twisting it the wrong way, potentially you're not doing the kind of work that suits you. And this is where I'll bring in like the research side of things, and the reading too much into what everybody else is doing, and the Canova and all this, like, reading about what these Kenyans are doing, or reading about what Kipchoge's doing, or and you try to replicate some of this stuff. Because look, at the end of the day, it's okay to want to learn off the best athletes in the world. There's nothing wrong with that. Your intent is in the right place, your desire is in the right place, but what you're really looking to do is, in a way, and you're really, really lucky if you figure this out, but you're just looking to do what works for you and really focus on that, narrow in on that. And I touched on this in the last podcast. I really believe I'm a very rare, not very, very, I don't know how fucking rare this is, excuse my language, but it's rare that you have an athlete that can have, and sorry to get physiological, it's rare to have an athlete that can have a really high VO2 max, like 80 plus, and also have a very, very good running economy. And I feel like I haven't tapped into that enough. And that kind of means that you can get, I mean, I don't need to explain it. Well, in a way I do, but I don't, because I was a funded 1500 meter runner as a younger athlete, and now I'm a funded marathon runner. So you don't necessarily need, there's good 1500 meter runners that don't have a brilliant VO2 max, and there's great marathon runners that don't have a brilliant running economy. But if there was an event to suit each, that would kind of be it. VO2 max is a good quality to have as a 1500 meter runner. Running economy is a great value to have as a good marathon runner. And so it's rare to have both. The problem is, there's no use having both if you don't utilize both, if that makes sense. And so, and when I've looked back at when I've performed well, and I'm talking about all different stages of my career. So I remember in 2013, for example, I went to the European indoors. I broke 8 minutes for 3K. And then a couple of weeks later, I went and ran a relatively fast half marathon back in the day. I think it was 64, maybe 64:06, maybe, or 64:26, around Omaha half marathon. I was actually on like not a 2 week break, but I had done the European indoors, and all the focus had kind of been like 3K training and speed and this sort of stuff. And all of a sudden I asked my coach at the time, "Hey, there's a half marathon, there's a bit of prize money, do you mind if I do it?" And away I go do this, and I think I told him like 68 minutes would win it. And then I texted him the day of the race and said, "Hey, like, actually a really good Irish runner, Sergei, has showed up, like, and I might have to run a bit faster." And my coach just wrote back, "Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be able to." And so I end up running like relatively fast. And at the end of the day, like, I hadn't done, see all the shit I do now, all these long runs and these long tempos and stuff like that. I hadn't done any of that. I had done, I think my longest tempo was 6 miles. I was doing a lot of track stuff. There's actually a video, if anybody's curious, I'll find the video here quickly. There's a video on YouTube And it's let's see, I think it's actually Stephen Scullion, 8 Lane. And I believe it's right around that time. Yeah, there you go. So I just typed in Stephen Scullion, 8 Lane, and it's 8 years ago. And it's me as a geez, I'm a pup. And it's me and an athlete called Scott Overall, and we're doing 800s on the track. And yeah, this would have been a couple of weeks after, but I think we're doing like 10 800s, and we flip between 216 and 208. Sesh, like I'm telling you, that I'd kill myself, right? Like that athlete there would hammer. I wouldn't be able to do that session. And there I am as a so it's 10 years ago. Well, sorry, 9 years ago. And that athlete would absolutely rip me apart. And there's no super shoes, there's no super tech. And it's not nothing's changed except the work that I'm putting in, the athlete that I've become. I've tried to become a marathoner, right? And I've tried to make myself more marathon like. And it's as if I've forgotten what made me a good runner and what made me a good distance runner. And for a change, this is what happened at London and Larne. I didn't dictate the training. I just went to Font. My friend Andy Butchart said, "I'm going to Font Rameau tomorrow." And I went, "Oh, fucking right, I'm going to come." And I go to Font, and I put in work. And when I come back from Font, I'm in a really good place. And guess what? I did a lot of track stuff, a lot of really hard track sessions that, really, really hurt me. And so what it did was it just pushed. Hold on a second. Oh, ourselves. Like what it did was just really, really pushed. We did a session, for example. I'm not getting sidetracked, but we did a session in Font, up at 6,000 feet. Myself, Jack, a kid called Jamie Crow. And we do this session, K6-4, four sets. And when I finished the session and I was warming down, I'm out of breath coming up those stairs. The first thing I said in the warm down, I think it was to Jack, was of the three of us, there's three athletes, and I was obviously training for marathon, but they were training for track. And I said, that's a really good session that we just did. And I said, of the three of us, two of us would go back and run between 13:30 and 13:50, which is a fairly big range. But it's the fact that I knew all three of us were, it's called, all three of us were fit enough to do that. All three of us had that caliber. But sometimes it doesn't quite work out like that. It's very rare that all three of us would have started on a stood on a start line, sorry, and actually, hit it. Because depends how you come off altitude, depends how you convert, etc., etc. Running's not as straightforward as, oh, you've been able to do that session and now you're gonna, go and do that time. But the point I'm trying to make is for once in the last 3 years, I was in really good track shape. And so I think what I could have done was actually told London, "Hey, I'm not going to bother to race London." And I could have, within 2 or 3 weeks, turned the fitness that I had and the strength that I had into really good track fitness. It might not be world class, but I'd have turned it into a really useful place. And so I'm merely just pointing out that there's different ways to be a good marathoner. Some athletes are very, very good at the long run day. In fact, there's a lot of athletes that's not, I'm not saying that's the only strength they have, but they've had to kind of rely on that strength because they lack the capability of developing a good VO2, good speed endurance, good ability over 1500, 3K, etc., etc. I think 3K is the real VO2 event. I think anything around 8 minutes. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And so if you can run a good 3K, and it's similar to your ability as a marathoner. You're likely a fairly even athlete, like in terms of your track caliber and your marathon caliber. Whereas if your marathon time absolutely trumps your 3K time, i.e. your 3K is absolutely fucking useless, but your marathon's actually really good, well then you're probably more of the, call it slower twitch, and probably more your running economy is probably your thing, and efficiency and all the rest of it. And some athletes get to a place where they can almost just maintain 10K pace for the marathon, for example. They don't have, it's not like, they run a 10K as hard as they can and they run 35 minutes. They run a marathon at 35:30 or 36 minutes for 10K, but do it four times. And that's that there is that means you train to your strengths in a way. And I'm starting to think some of the stuff that's been missing is that ability to, if I needed to, or if the marathon got cancelled, jump in a track race. And I'm not suggesting everybody has to be able to do that. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that's what would fit. It's what fits when, tell me why I ran that really good half marathon a couple of weeks after European indoors, when all the focus was on indoors and fast and shorter stuff. Tell me why I ran a really good half and a really good full, even though the night before the race, I looked at the training and said to myself, the night before London Marathon, I looked at the training and was like, I don't think I've done a long run in about 6 weeks, and my longest run was 20 miles. I in the build up to London, for example, the long runs went something like 15, 15, 16, 18, 20, 20. Five long runs, and that was it. And the most recent long run to London, like I said, was something like 6 weeks before London. So it was 2 weeks before Larne, 5 weeks before London. And so, explain that to me. That's kind of starting to make sense. And so it probably makes sense why over the last 10 weeks, like the likes of tempo speed and threshold speed has just kind of stayed the same. It hasn't moved. It hasn't really moved in any direction, because you're limiting your progression to what I just talked about, Mr. Marathon. And actually, if you wanted to see that next jump in progression, you probably had to go back to like some of the more track type stuff. And this is all a learning experience. So you don't always have the answers. And I'm telling you where I've gone wrong, where and I have no part of me minds admitting stuff like this, but where I've messed up is in the past, I've had some, really good coaches agree to help me. And I've been really lucky with that. And some of them have really understood like my skills and my assets. There's actually probably back when I was younger, between like 2010 and 2013, I actually had two coaches tell me that they believed I could break 3:40 for 1500 and 2:10 for the marathon. A coach called Nick Anderson, and also Andrew Hobdell, who now coaches Kevin Seward and Paul Pollock. And both of the, I feel like both of those coaches seen when I trained with those coaches when they had other fantastic athletes, an athlete called Andrew Baddeley. When I trained with Hobdell, and an athlete called Andrew Vernon when I trained with Nick Anderson. And I also worked with these guys separately too, but anybody who understands my history and how much I call it struggle psychologically, I've never done a good job of keeping a coach. But I also will be the first to admit, when I look back at my history, every time I basically get rid of a coach, I struggle. And I don't know whether I was already starting to struggle psychologically, which is why I got rid of the coach, and that's likely why I went on to struggle. Or I was in a good place, got rid of the coach, started to struggle psychologically, started to struggle in the training. Both had a knock-on effect. I can't tell you. But because both coaches had these really good athletes, they probably seen my ability to develop quite quickly and be able to hang with these really good athletes and learn from them. And you know, I can think of specific sessions where I guess things turned a corner a little bit, and I maybe did a session, and like I remember, for example, Nick Anderson, we did 600s, which, you know, is not the kind of session that you think I'm going to handle really well. 4 times 600 is as fast as you pretty much can, and I remember handling it really well, and Nick kind of said after me after the session, like, it was one of those moments where it was just like, shit, like, fuck, like, you've got a bit of range to you. And then I remember Gary saying something similar in Font-Rémy, like when we did some 200s, and I'm kind of waffling, so I want to wrap it up, but we did some 200s, and you know, I ran like a 26 and a 27, and again, you know, Mo's coach Gary and Paul Radcliffe's husband Gary Locke was like, fuck skull, like, I didn't think you could move that fast. And so I think I've neglected a big skill, and the bottom line is I'm not going to neglect that skill anymore. You know, I'm really gonna work hard on combining the two skills I've got. I clearly have the ability to do the long runs, and I clearly have the ability to handle the double threshold day and handle the long tempo day and stuff like that. And so that would, not that it would confuse you, but you'd understand why you double down on some stuff like that, because you know you're clearly all right at it. You're clearly, you know, pretty good at it. So of course, naturally, you're gonna think double down on that. But I actually think the key to all this is gonna be balance. Balancing how much of that kind of stuff you're doing, but you know, of course, keeping in a relatively solid amount of like harder track stuff, but not going too far in that direction that you forget the fact that you're going to race a marathon at 26.2 miles. Okay, so having said all of that, I'm now going to tell you why I did today's podcast. So I was on this run this morning in Bushy Park, nice easy run. And as I was on the run, I was thinking about this Victoria Park loop, which there's a couple of different angles here, because whenever I'm trying to assess fitness, like, for example, I thought during lockdown I was going into Victoria Park once a week and doing a relatively good, actually a very, very good, call it tempo or threshold run. But I started to get to the point where I was like, not sure if Victoria Park is legit or not. Like, I didn't really know. Of course, I didn't know like the full length of the loop, basically. And so when I was on this run this morning, I knew the right man to ask. And the reason I wanted to ask him was because I also wanted to know what the fuck basically has been going on over these last couple of weeks here, because something wasn't adding up. Because I was clearly training really well in Victoria Park, but then the stuff I was doing on the treadmill or the stuff I was doing at the track, for example, if you kind of get that, it wasn't adding up. Something wasn't quite adding up, and I basically just wanted to know what was going on. Why am I like flying in Victoria Park? And I sort of already knew the answer, because you know, like I told you, I think I did a long run in the park couple of weeks ago, and it told me my first mile was like 5:05, and I just knew I'm not running 5:05. And so anyone that trains in Victoria Park, you're about to find out exactly how far a loop of Victoria Park is. And I was on this run, and I knew this would be really helpful, because I part of going to Paris was to know exactly where I'm at, basically, right? So part of going to Paris was to really just see, where you're at, Scully, where's the fitness at? But another way to, I've done enough in training that I kind of, I did that like hard 5 mile effort, and I thought I averaged 4:40. So it actually turns out that I averaged 4:46, which, let's be honest, isn't bad, but it's not 4:40, and it kind of makes sense why then when I went to the track, literally like 3 or 4 days later, I was sort of questioning. I went to the track fully expecting, so 4:40 pace is 70s per lap, right? So I go to the track, and in my head, I'm thinking, you've done 8K at 70s last Friday, and you felt pretty good. So you're now gonna do 5K at 72s. You should feel really good. And all of a sudden, I don't feel really good. In fact, it feels the same or harder than the week before. And so, of course, it felt the fucking same or harder, because 72s on the track is, well, it's 4:46 for 1600, which is basically 4:47 for a mile, because a mile is a bit longer. And so it's basically the same. And so I sent a text this morning, or a Facebook message to John Glover. Anyone that knows John Glover would know that John Glover marks the courses for like a lot of the races in Northern Ireland. And so I've went round with a wheel, but John does it properly. And so I also told you on yesterday's podcast that wheels can be a little bit hit or miss. And so John sent back a message this morning saying the loop is, and I've probably really bored people with this. They're probably like, this is getting boring. But the loop is 1,659 meters, which, why it sort of makes sense is because when I went round with the wheel, it told me a bit more, maybe like, I think like 25 meters more. And so there you have it. It looks like my 4:40 per lap was actually like 4:46. And it looks like my 15 miles at 5:01 was actually 15 miles at 5:06. And I can already hear you telling me that, well, actually, I don't really know what you're telling me, but it's not massive, massive margins, but if you think about marathon running, it's a pretty big deal, right? So if you've gone into Victoria Park and you've done 15 miles at marathon effort and you've averaged 5:01, and when you finish, you say to yourself, ah, I was kind of working a bit harder than marathon effort. It wasn't totally comfortable. And you've averaged 5:01, you're kind of like, yeah, I reckon on race day, I could probably pull it off. Because remember, you have 11 miles to go. So you're saying to yourself, yeah, race day, taper, yeah, I reckon I could certainly give it a go. But when you move that to 5:06, all of a sudden you need to find 6 seconds a mile, which you might find in your taper, but then you have 11 miles to go as well. And so it wasn't a it was an honest answer to get from John, and it was a good answer to get, because I think it kind of confirmed what my gut has kind of been telling me. And I kind of feel like poor Rob, who's helped me, you know, this during this period, and I've been stressed, and of course I've been stressed because I couldn't understand, you know, why a day would go really well in training. And now I kind of know, because I was running around the loop, that your GPS clearly just gives you a nice false sense of good feeling, basically. And then why, when you're kind of doing, like, not a test, but when you're kind of doing a session in a controlled environment like the track, where there's no lying, there's no hiding, you know, 4 and a bit laps is your mile, and there's no getting away with that. All of a sudden, any confidence you had built in the park had kind of been stripped away from you. Because, you know, when me and Rob would exchange texts after some of these tempo runs, it was kind of like, shit, like, I'm kind of in a good place here. But now, all of a sudden, you've done 10K in the park, and you kind of thought you averaged like 450 pace or 451, and you've actually averaged like 456. It's not as good. It's not bad, but 5 seconds a mile over a marathon is like 2 minutes. It can take you from being in 211 shape to 213 really quickly. And I think deep down, I knew, you know, I think deep down, this sort of whole time, I've kind of known the situation. I've known exactly what's been going on. I was about to go get the measuring wheel again, but and I mean, like, not as in like the last couple of days, but a couple of weeks ago there, because I was just feeling frustrated that I'm not normally like this. I'm not normally negative about my fitness. I'm normally like confident, and I normally have that confidence, and I just kind of knew there was something fucking not right. And oh, poor girl just fell in the 400. She's a brilliant athlete too, Bull. Yeah, I just had this gut feeling, and I feel like, you know, if you were again listening to yesterday's podcast, when it did this like tempo run with you know, Jack and Dan yesterday, it confirmed it, because I was like, nah, like, I shouldn't be struggling in that tempo run yesterday if the tempo runs I've been doing in Victoria Park are legit, because I've been running way faster, and I shouldn't then be struggling. But yeah, I feel like a new there's a bit of niceness to the fact that I could trust my gut. And like I said, if I handled that 5 mile and it was legit 440s in Victoria Park, of course, when I would have went to the track that next Tuesday and done, you know, less distance, slower, of course I would have felt good. But actually, you're probably looking at, you know, I was probably running 440, like I said, 447 pace in the park, 446. So had I gone to the track and ran at like 455, well, yeah, I'd have probably felt pretty good for 3 mile, and then I'd have been getting into Paris like happy. But I not happy when it comes to fitness, because it's kind of looking like, remember I said to you guys, it's probably looking like I'd have been right around 63 something. 450 to 455 pace is probably about right, because if you can do 5 mile in the park at 447, you know, you've 8 mile to go, but it is race day, you're going to fully taper, but you can't assume that you're just going to handle that 440, you know, seven. You might need to add 5 or 8 seconds per mile. I don't know how much you have to add. You're trying to get eight more miles, but the race should help you, the taper should help you, the course should help you, etc. But I don't think there's going to be a big conversion from Victoria Park. Like, we, you know, irrelevant to the loop size or the loop length, it's fast. It's very fast. It's perfect. You know, there's not, you just find yourself in this lovely rhythm. And that's kind of the difference when you go into a bushy park and you have tight turns and you have mud and you have people and you have dogs. Of course, you're going to then convert really well to a race situation. But I don't want to bore you too much on that. I just wanted to let you guys know that's the situation. If you train on that loop, I would heavily, heavily advise you to do loops. So, like, if you're going to do a tempo, 5 loops, and then no. Divide your time by 1,660 meters. So, you know, I want to say it's probably about 8 seconds a lap. Sorry, that's at like 5 minute mile pace, something like that. It's 50 meters over the, sorry, yeah, 50 meters over the mile, basically. So that's all you have to know, that 50 meters before you get to the end of the loop, you've hit a mile, rather than, believe me, I've done a lap in, I think, 5:25 at the start of that long run a couple of weeks ago, and it told me 5:02 pace. So that day it was giving me 23 seconds per mile. It does not take me 23 seconds to run 50 meters. You're probably talking 10 at most, 8, 9, 10. So it was giving me 12 extra seconds per mile. It should have been a 5:14, and it told me 5:02. Now, anybody listening could understand why that might be confusing. And so let's go back to the bolt and the tightening. It'd be like you're tightening, and the person at the other end's going, yep, that seems to be working. And you're working away, working away, working away. And then an hour later, they're still saying, yep, that seems to be working. And so the confusion here for me is just that, yeah, like, I probably felt like the training was working because, you know, you're going to Victoria Park, and the splits are, they're looking good. But yeah, no, like, I understand maybe why my confidence was confused. And I think anybody listening could relate to that, because if you'd done a lot of work on a loop that was maybe giving you 5 to 10 seconds per mile, and then the week of a race, you do your session on a track, and there's no hiding on the track, and all of a sudden your confidence is going to flip, because you're going to realize, shit, I'm not as fit as I thought I was like a week ago. What's wrong? And then these question marks come up, you know, what's wrong? And nothing's wrong. You just weren't as fit as you thought you were. And so you've gone to the track and you've tried to run too fast, and then you felt shit because it's too fast, it's too hard. And then you've started over analyzing things, and you know, am I sick? Is there something wrong? And I don't feel like it's, I can't really blame myself. There's no real like fault. It just is what it is. But I'll know in future. You know, I was able to go back through the training and edit a few things, and you know, like I said, the 15 miles, all of a sudden it's actually probably like 5:06 per mile, and you know, the 5 miles pretty hard. Instead of being 4:40, it's probably 4:46. And it doesn't, like I said, it's not, none of this is bad. None of this is like, oh no, you know, you're all of a sudden you're in a bad place. It's not bad. Just in certain areas, you're not in as good a shape as you wanted to be. Now, if I could have done 5 miles in the park at 4:40 pace, I likely could have gone to Paris and averaged 4:45 to 4:50. But all of a sudden, you know, when you're not 4:40 pace in the park, you're actually 4:46, and then you add 5 to 10 seconds to that, it becomes 4:50 to 55, right? And so you can see the difference, right? And so, you know, all of a sudden you're 15 miles not being 5:01, it's actually 5:06. And you add a bit of time to that to get you to 26, it's not the result you were hoping was going to come your way. And so I've had to accept I was turning the fucking bolt the wrong way. And I need to get back to working on some of my strengths, and I need to get back to working on, you know, some of that track stuff and some of that VO2 and really hard hills. And probably is frustrating for coaches if they do listen, because they'll be like, I told you so, and Scully always knows best. And but hey, like I said, like I'm eager. I'm excited to try, and excited to try flip this around. And I'm still gonna do Rotterdam. I'm not gonna shy away. I've had the best part of about 10 days. Maybe, yeah, let's see. I probably have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe 11, maybe 10, 11 days to do something about this turning the fucking screw. And I'll keep a marathon type session in there. I'll you know, I'll get back to doing another tempo with Jack, and another track session with Jack, and hopefully these little things When I talk about turning the screw the wrong way, it's not completely wasted. It's not the running. I haven't got worse, right? And that's, remember, in running that can happen. You can get worse. The only option when it comes to running, sometimes you kind of think is, if I'm not getting better, it was a big fat waste of time. But actually, if you're doing solid work and you're out there training consistently once or twice a day, et cetera, it keeps a foundation, right? You're building this really nice foundation. You're building this really consistency, sorry. And then what can happen is then once you figure out a few sessions that kind of help make you tick and help make you hit that next level of fitness, because you've done all of that foundation work, it works. It sometimes can even work even better, because you can't kill yourself all the time. You can't nail the training all the time. And so what I need to hope is that all none of that foundation work was wasted. And actually, I believe in about 7 to 10 days' time, I'm going to jump on a podcast with you guys here, and it's going to be really, really good. I'm going to be really, really excited. But at the end of the day, that's where we're at right now. When I talked about finding that flow, a flow state is what it's kind of called in running, but it's kind of when everything's kind of just going in a really nice way. The stress side of things in your life are low, and how I'm gonna find that and make sure I carry that over these next 3 weeks, sorry, 3 weeks, is just make the training fun. And that'll be either finding company, or if I can't get company, or if there's a session I need to do, just make sure that I'm being realistic about the splits. And I'm actually probably for the next 2 weeks, while I'm still pushing towards Rotterdam, I'm going to pretend, for all intents and purposes, that I'm not a 209 marathoner, and I'm back to that 212 to 213 guy. And I'm going to do that on purpose, so that I can go and get sessions done and have a really positive experience and feel really optimistic about the fitness. I'd rather do 4 times 2 mile at 5 minute mile pace, for example, and be optimistic and curious. Could I have done 450? I don't know. Maybe. I felt good, rather than going and trying to push and push down to 445 and push down to 450, and then come away frustrated that I found myself hanging on, or that I was struggling. And so when I'm going to do the marathony type sessions, I'm going to move to a conservative approach. But of course, when I'm doing the harder tracks type stuff, and if I have company and like a harder tempo with Jack, then that'll be just whatever it is, and I'll have to respond to that and adapt to that. And so there'll still be days where I'm pushing, but I'm not going to analyze those days. They're just days to push and work hard. And then when I'm doing the more marathony type stuff, I'm going to make sure that I'm in a good place, and that it's a positive and a good day. And I think that's going to build this nice momentum heading into Rotterdam. And fingers crossed, you can go in there and have a positive day. And at least now I know for a fact what some of the training was. I'm not thinking, was it 501? I now know exactly what it was, probably 506, 507. And that's good. It's good to have honest training, honest feedback. It tells you exactly where you're at. And that can, some of the athletes I coach, that's the big thing, accepting where you're at and training within those limits. Because once you start trying to get greedy and pushing towards maybe fitness or times that aren't quite there at that moment in time, that's when it can get frustrating and call it ugly and all things like this, because you're just overreaching, and then the stress goes up, and your fatigue levels go up, and it's no wonder you're in this vicious cycle of almost fatigue and stress and unhappiness, and then everybody around you gets the blame, the coaches, the team around you, and actually you're just not accepting where you're at. So, all right, guys, I'm gonna leave you with that. That was a whoa, I'm putting in time on this podcast. But I hope you enjoyed something in there, and didn't just take lessons, take take, I'm sure, if you have to check out some of your loops, if you have to once every 10 days make sure you're doing a session on the track, for example, where there's no excuses. Yeah, factor things like this in and take responsibility and take control of not leaving too many question marks, because a lot of people found out over lockdown that certain time trials and things that they were doing, maybe didn't convert the results once races came back. And all of a sudden you're in a race and you're like, what the feck? I'm working way harder than I do in training. And perhaps your loop is fairly generous, like my loop. But look, take care. Appreciate you guys listening. And look, there is optimism. I'm trying to get this back. If you can't already tell, I really, really, really want to get back and back to running PBs. And but yeah, look, it's maybe just going to take a little bit longer, but that's okay. But yeah, take care, guys. Bye bye.